Hello, everybody. Jesse Schreck with Practical Missions Cohort. Today, we have a special episode. This is a sermon that was recorded at the New Life Church of Vicenza, a church made up of American soldiers, U.S. soldiers serving here in Italy. And we worship with them on Sunday mornings in this season, and a great blessing it is. I have the opportunity also at times to relieve the other brothers from preaching and fill in. And here we preached on the last section of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And in a particular way, we look at the leper, and we learn proper ways of how to come to Christ. And we also learn how to go away from Christ properly, something that this leper did not do. So tune in, be blessed, and we'll talk to you again soon. Ciao, ciao.
Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here with you again and to serve and to bring the word. And we're going to be finishing up the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark this morning. And it is an exciting time. One of my favorite gospel accounts is that of Mark. It's just, it's intense. It's better than watching a film. It's, you can fool yourself maybe and just read through it and not realize there's great drama going on here today. And our main text for today will be a very, very dramatic scene, an encounter of Jesus with a leper. And so that'll be our main focus, but we're also going to back up just a little bit as well to the previous two passages because I want to tie a couple things together. So last week we heard about the priority that Jesus had for prayer and for the proclamation of the gospel, for gospel ministry, and how these elements should be part of our life as well. Our priorities also should be for prayer and the proclamation of the gospel through our lives and through our mouths. But yeah, we're going to look also just briefly at the demons, and I know this can be a sensitive subject, a bit weird, it can feel strange, but we're going to see over and over through the Gospel of Mark here encounters with the demonic. So we're just going to look at two little key ideas and points that we need to realize regarding demons, and then also a couple key elements about prayer that I want us to take hold of as well before we dive into this text with the leper and all the great truths that we'll see there. And we will conclude today then with four keys to a joyful life of obedience. Four keys to a joyful life of obedience. Let me pray for us and we'll go ahead and we'll dive right away into our text. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning aware of our need for your mercy, for your grace, aware of our need for your Spirit to sensitize our hearts, to give us ears to hear. And Lord, as we open your word, I do pray that you give us ears to hear. I pray that you would guide my mind and my mouth, Lord, to proclaim your word faithfully, with passion, and that we would all hear from your word today, what your Spirit would have us hear, that your Spirit would preach a sermon to us just the way you want us to hear it today. And move in our hearts to receive your word, move in our hearts to be transformed by your word, shaped by your word, so we can walk out of here today a little bit more encouraged, despite what's going on around us. That we can walk out of here with a new joy in our step regarding the idea of obedience as well. That we can find true joy when we are obeying you by your grace. And so work in our hearts to this end, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 32 to 45, and again, our main passage is verses 40 to 45, but a couple key elements I want to bring out of these first two sections right before our main passage. Verse 32, we read this. Now, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place. And he prayed there for a time. Simon and his companions eagerly searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby, so that I may also preach there. For this is why I came." And he went into their synagogues, preaching throughout Galilee and casting out the demons. Verse 40. And a man with leprosy, came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling down and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and he touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But when he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but he stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. This is the word of God for us this morning. Amen. The first section was one we saw 2 weeks ago, where they were bringing people to Jesus who were ill and who were demon-possessed. It's good for us to hear these words again. It reminds us what we're going through today and what may be coming in the months to come, if persecution of what we talked about with the pastor in Canada, if that kind of, and what's going on in Australia and many other parts right now, if that continues to go this way, it's a good reminder for us to remember we live in a fallen world. They were bringing ill people to Jesus. They were bringing demon-possessed people to Jesus. The world is fallen. There's problems all around us. And it's healthy for us to be mindful of this on a regular basis. We're not in paradise yet. The Lord is growing his church. His kingdom is coming. It's growing. It's growing. We will be dwelling with the Lord for eternity. Marvelous things await us, more than we can imagine. But for now, we're redeemed, but we're still in a context. We need to know our context. I'm sure you guys as soldiers are very much aware of context and where you are and what you're doing and certain ways you need to behave and different things. We need to have that mentality in this world as well. It's fallen. Demon-possessed people exist. Illness exists. And we're very much aware of this as well right now, aren't we? The last year, the pandemic, illness is a reality. Many of us have had the virus. Many people, as we know, have died from the virus. All kinds of different things going on. It is a fallen world. But Brother Joe reminded us very well, Jesus has authority over all things, over the physical world, over illness, and also over the spiritual world, over the demons. I want to note, though, that it is interesting as we look at Mark's telling of the gospel and Jesus' ministry, which we're looking at in detail here. Jesus is serving, Jesus is preaching, and it seems like something out of a film for us. Demons like creeping out of every bush, right? Demons, well, what in the world is going on? People will be foaming at the mouth. People will be rolling on the ground. And Jesus is talking to demons and telling them to be quiet. All kinds of crazy things going on. And it can seem like a foreign concept. It can seem really crazy. But again, context is important. The Messiah was walking here. He was in our midst. We need to be sure demons were coming out from all over the globe, all over the place, to focus their attention on the ministry of Jesus Christ, to obstruct it, to keep the gospel from being proclaimed, to cause problems. And we see that over and over as we read through the gospel here. So there was a thing there, but that's not to say demons are not active today. They certainly are. We usually have two extremes. I think even Brother Joe quoted C.S. Lewis on this. He pointed out, well, either we focus too much on demons or we pretend they don't exist at all. People, we usually fall into one of these two extremes. We need a healthy understanding also of the spiritual realm and the demonic realm, that it is a reality. We do have an enemy of our souls, and he does have demons that he sends out to disrupt our lives, to keep us from fighting the good fight, to keep us from standing firm, to keep us from trusting in the Word of God, and to keep us from also proclaiming with our mouths that good news, that great gospel message. But again, the Lord has authority over that. We see Jesus here. He healed many. He cast out demons. We saw, as Brother Joe pointed out, this is something only God can do. Only God has power over the physical bodies to transform them, to make them well. Only God has power over the demonic and all this. And that reminds us, Jesus was very much, and he is, he's God. He's divine. He's not just some man. This was the God-man. This was the Lord himself in our midst, and he affirmed that through his ministry here. But a couple, two things I want to point out here about demons for us. Number one, if you're a believer, if you're born again, If you've been redeemed, you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Christ and Him alone for the salvation of your soul, if that's you, you're safe. Al sicuro, we say in Italian. You're safe. I want to read for us 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We read this. We know that no one who has been born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him. And the evil one does not touch him. If you're born of God, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're in the Lord's hands, no one can take you out of His hands, no one can separate you from the love of Christ, you're sure, you're safe. You've been purchased, you've been redeemed, you've been sealed by the work of the Holy Spirit. You belong to God now. The evil one cannot touch you unless God would sovereignly permit him. We need to remember the evil one has some level of authority, but always he's in submission to God Almighty. He is in a very real way like a dog on a leash for God. He'll only let him do what he wants him, what he lets him do. He cannot do everything he wants. That we have great assurance in this. If you're a believer, you're safe. Colossians 1:13, we read, He rescued us, the Lord rescued us from the domain of darkness. All of us were in darkness, in need of being rescued. Jesus did, if you've repented of your sins, you've trusted in Him as your Lord, as your Savior, He rescued you from the domain of darkness. And not only, He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. No one can take us out of His kingdom. No one, no thing, no evil one, no demon can take us out. No demon can enter us either. This is an important concept for us to understand. There is confusion nowadays. People actually say Christians can be possessed of demons, and perhaps you see this in the charismatic movements and Pentecostal movements. But if you're born of God, if you're sealed by His Spirit, there is no room for demonic activity inside you. You can be tempted. You can be inflicted with physical harm. You can be lied to by demons, but you cannot be possessed by demons. If you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, al sicuro, you are safe. You're well. No one can separate you from the love of God. Now, the opposite is true, though. If you're an unbeliever, you're not safe. You are vulnerable. This is something we need to take into account. And 2 Timothy 2:26 is an important verse for us that we read when Paul is teaching Timothy as he's establishing the church there, equipping elders and to carry that church forward. Paul says to him, and these people who are causing quarrels there and so on, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Having been held captive by him to do his will. Often we think that we're in this state of a sort of neutrality. If we're not yet saved, everything is well, we're just going through life, and it'll be better for us maybe if we come to Christ. But the truth is, if you're not in Christ, if you have not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior, you are actually at enmity with God. And not only, you're spiritually dead, in need of being made alive, you have no life, and not only, you're actually a slave to sin, and you're a slave to Satan, whether you realize it or not. And he can do with you whatever he wills, held captive by him to do his will. This is the condition of an unregenerate person, one who has not bowed the knee to the King. It's a vulnerable place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Now, typically, the kind of activity we see here in the ministry of Jesus Christ, these demon-possessed people, normally people are possessed of demons because they mess around with things like the occult, or maybe under the influence of drugs and alcohol and things of this nature, and they open the door, so to speak, for Satan to easily enter them and do what he wills. But in any case, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you are vulnerable to Satan. He can go in, he can have demons go in you, do whatever they want, and destroy you, and he came to seek and to destroy all of the Lord's children. But the Lord came to set free. Now, John 8:34, we remember Jesus taught, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. I already mentioned it, but we're slaves to sin, we're slaves also to Satan. We need to be aware of that. It's basic Christianity concepts. We were in darkness, we were slaves to certain things, and Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the Redeemer, He's the one who transfers us into His kingdom, makes us new, brings us safely. Now, we can be safely, soundly saved, and al sicuro, as I say, safe, But it doesn't mean it's easy going. We know that for sure. We just read the testimony or heard the testimony of the brother who's preaching the gospel faithfully, and they put him in prison, right? And we need to be steadfast because these kind of persecutions will happen. But you cannot be separated from Christ. This is the blessed assurance. This is what makes that brother sleep well at night in his prison cell. He knows, I may be here. I'm separated from my family. I'm separated from my flock. But I'm not separated from Christ. He's here with me in this cell. All the apostles understood this well also. So two key points here that we got on the demonic. Just a little foundation for us, something to keep in mind, because we will be seeing Jesus interacting with demons, and we need some kind of proper understanding of what all this is. The tendency is maybe to just gloss over it or give it too much attention, but just a simple reminder here for us and an understanding of that realm, and we'll hit on it more in the coming weeks, I'm sure. But prayer is the other point we wanted to get to before we dive into our main text and get the good lessons we have from this leper, this dramatic scene. Prayer. We heard a lot of great things on prayer last week. To tie it together, though, I want us to remember prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. One thing it is it's a privilege. And it's a privilege for those who are saved, those who are reconciled to God. In our context here in Italy, all kinds of people are praying all kinds of prayers. They even have a radio station called Radio Maria, Mary Radio. And I tune in once in a while just to remember, what kind of context am I living in? And what are these people taught from their birth? And so people call in, and okay, well, we'll tell Mary about that. And they pray. And then there's a certain hour where they just chant prayers over and over to Mary in continuation for like an hour. Weird things. All kinds of prayers exist, but prayers that are heard by God, prayers that are answered by God, come from those who have come to him for his mercy, for his grace, to be saved, have come to him like a leper, which we'll see in a moment. For those who are saved, their prayers are heard. And the verse we have for this is 1 Peter 3, verse 12. We read, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous." As we know, none of us are righteous, but if we're saved, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is ours. It covers us, and we are righteous in that sense. Not in ourselves, but as we're united to Christ. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, toward his elect, toward his saved, and his ears attend to their prayer. The Lord delights when you come to him in prayer. But the face of the Lord is against evildoers. Face of the Lord is against evildoers. So many people today will fancy themselves that their prayers are heard. They'll pray to God or the God of their own imagination. But the truth is, God is not hearing their prayers. He hears them, but he's not giving ear to their prayers. It's a privilege to pray that God gives us through Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who purchased us. It's a disciplined prayer. Our second point on prayer, quickly. It's a discipline. It requires prioritizing. This is what we heard so well last week, the priority of prayer. You're tempted in the morning, face-to-face with the pillow, or to come face-to-face with God. That stuck in me through the week, and I found a little extra oomph behind me in the morning to get me out of bed, thanks to the good word last week. And I was able to get up a little earlier and get a good cycle of prayer and time in the word before the kids are up and so on. Prioritizing in prayer. It requires, as a discipline, dedication, commitment, God-given ability, and resolve. Jesus made time for prayer. We see that in this episode. He was up doing ministry late into the evening. Sabbath was over. People were coming. He's healing. He's doing ministry. Intense. Ministry is intense. Those who are delivering you the word of God and shepherding your souls, remember, it's not a walk in the park, gospel ministry. Brother here is about to go to seminary. Till now, everything you've done is a walk in the park. Once you get into seminary and then do the ministry, sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Jesus was up late. He was up early to be in the word and in prayer, to meet with his Father. And it's the same for us. It requires us to do, the Lord requires us to be disciplined in prayer. And I would suggest, though, it's good for us to remember that we're all really good in prayer when things are difficult. If you're like me, when things are falling apart, you're a great prayer. You got extra time in prayer. You're on your knees. When things are going well, if you're like me, you're a lousy prayer. You take it easy. You're coasting, and you actually become vulnerable. That being said, we can all rest assured God loves us so much. Rare will be the moments he'll let everything go smooth and easy for you. Because he knows if he lets it go easy, it won't be much till you drift away and who knows, maybe fall asleep at the wheel, off into a ditch on the side of the road. He loves you so much, he'll give you a bumpy road. That way your eyes stay open, you know, and while you're driving along. It's good comfort to know that. You're not as good a prayer as you think. But God loves you so much, he'll make your road bumpy. So help me, Lord, help me stay straight. He'll keep you on the right path. God is good that way. But another thing for prayer, constant. Always praying. 1 Peter 5, 6, 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Always be in prayer. And Romans 12, 11 to 12. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. When your time comes to an end and people look back and remember your life, strive to have them remember that you were a praying person, that you were a person unashamedly coming to the Lord consistently, regularly, often on your knees, trusting in your Savior, meeting with your Savior. The demonic prayer, a couple key points there I just wanted to get out as we continue on through this walk with the Gospel of Mark. Those are some things that will be helpful as we see Jesus in his ministry, his life, and his preaching, what he's doing. And now we're going to get into this very dramatic passage. And we have time still. The leprosy, and a man with leprosy came to Jesus. Horrific situation, leprosy. If we would actually ponder this reality, we would probably all just come to tears at the possibility of this. But there's so much here. The fact is, we can be fully well today and tomorrow find ourselves in a hospital. We're in this fallen world. Things can change in a second. And for a leper, a man with leprosy, life was as good as over. I mean, you were done. You were a gross person. Your skin falling off your body. You're contagious. Painful, painful thing. Makes COVID-19 look like a walk in the park. I mean, good night. You guys are worried about COVID-19, a leper would say. My skin was falling off my body. And not only that, I couldn't even see my kids. I couldn't see my wife. I couldn't see my family. I couldn't even go into the town. I had to stay outside the town like some kind of crazy person. And I'm not crazy. It's just for some reason, my skin is falling off and I look like a wreck. This is the reality of a leper. He lost everything. Occupation, provide for your family. Who's going to hire you? No one's going to hire you. You're a contagious person. What did you do to deserve it? Nothing. You're in a fallen world. Things happen. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible place to be. And here we see this man with leprosy. And he came to Jesus. Normally, if you got anywhere near a leper, they would have to shout out, "Away from me. I have leprosy. Don't come near me." It would be upon them to make it known in order to spare other people from somehow getting this. And here, he actually has the audacity to come to Jesus. It's very risky. It's very risky. But we see here, he shows great faith as well. And a great image for us when we come to Jesus Christ. Our next point is how to come rightly to Jesus. What does he do? Imploring him. Kneeling down. And saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Imploring him, kneeling down. All of us, we need to understand our spiritual condition before being redeemed, before being saved. We were that of a leper. We were a gross specimen. We were defiled. Not living for our Lord, not honoring him as we ought to, not thanking him as we ought to for every breath that he's given us till now. Before we were saved, we were just like this leper in the spiritual sense. Many of us will struggle to accept that, but that's the truth that God wants us to understand. You were not as good as you think. Actually, you were far worse than you can imagine before God Almighty, the pure and holy and perfect one. But that being the case, while you were still in that condition, Jesus came and he died for you. His love is that great. The song came to mind this morning and I was hoping we might sing it. and it was too late to mention it to Joe. But if you get a chance this afternoon or tonight, look up the song, His Mercy is Great. Are you familiar with that song? My sins, they are many. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. His mercy is more. Such a beautiful song. His mercy is more. Our sins are many. We're just like this leper. But His mercy is greater. His mercy is more. He can make us new. He can make us clean. So we come to Jesus. When we come, we need to come with humility. We learn that from the leper. He came with humility, imploring, kneeling down. To come rightly to Jesus Christ, we need to come in the same fashion. In many movements today, there's the idea that almost as if God owes you something, and you come to Jesus, you'll be doing Him a favor. Nonsense. Jesus doesn't need you. You don't enhance His kingdom when you come into it. You come with mercy, or seeking mercy. You come bowing, imploring, please, Lord, let me be one of your people. Please, make me new. Look at me. I'm far worse than I can imagine. There's nothing, there is no life without you. Humility. Know your need to be cleansed from and forgiven your sin, your leprosy. You come with humility by knowing God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Nobody like Him. Sinners in His presence die. That's the reality. Come knowing He's just and knowing Jesus does not know you anything. Humility. And once we're saved, I would say even more humility we should have. The fact that He received us, the fact that He made us new, He came, lived for us perfectly, died for us on the cross, poured out His blood as if He's an animal, looking worse perhaps than a leper, nailed there to a tree. The fact that He did all that for you and for me should humble us even more if we're in a right state of mind. As I heard Brother Joe even say not long ago, it should cause us to fear Him, these kinds of things, to fear Him rightly more, knowing His goodness towards us. And the second part we learn here about coming rightly to Jesus is with faith. This man had faith. He risked it all to come to Jesus. You're not supposed to do that when you're dirty. You don't come to a rabbi. You don't come to anybody. And he came to the Messiah. We see he had faith in Jesus' compassion. We read in verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, actually reached out and touched this man. And he said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And with the word of his mouth, the man was made new. He was cleansed. You have to come with faith that Jesus is compassionate, that he can cleanse you, that he can save you, that he can give you a new life, true life, abundant life. Faith that he lived perfectly for you. What you weren't able to do on your own, he satisfied the law of God. And that he died the death that you deserve on that cross. And not only, but that he now lives. He's not still nailed to the cross as they often believe in these lands here. He's alive. He really is. Those simple words, Jesus is alive. I remember hearing them when I was a kid. It changed my life forever. It's so true. It's so easy we forget. Our Savior's not dead. He's reigning. He's ruling. He's alive. He's the King of all kings. Faith. Come rightly to Jesus with humility and with faith like a good leper. Now, interestingly, this drama, this story here takes a strange twist. In this last part here, we see this great miracle. The man is made well. And we have this stern warning here, as they often call it, the messianic secrecy of Jesus. These times where, for some reason, he doesn't want himself to be made known to the masses. And you would think, well, that's odd. I thought he came to make himself known. But he had a ministry to fulfill. He had certain places to go, a gospel to be proclaimed. He had a very limited time, and if you're in ministry or even in any area of life, wherever you are, if you want to fulfill what God has for you to do, one of the main things you have to learn how to do is to say no to all the things that would pull you away, all the good things too, that would pull you away from the main task that you have. And Jesus, even here, he said, no, I have to go on, preach the gospel in these other parts. We read that just momentarily just before. But obedience here from this leper is what is lacking. He was warned, see that you say nothing to anyone. And go, show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So this would be standard procedure. He would show himself to the priest. He'd be examined. Okay, you are actually well. You can re-enter social life again. You're no longer an outcast. Potentially, though, here we have Jesus sending him to the priest to testify, to show the Messiah is here. No one can do these things. No one can cleanse a man like this. only God. Perhaps it had two purposes, this him going and showing himself to the priest. But he was commanded. It wasn't just a suggestion. It wasn't just some random guy telling him what to do. God Almighty, Jesus, the Lord, told him specifically, say nothing to anyone. Don't go telling this to people. And when Jesus talks, we need to remember he has a purpose. If we understand the why behind it or not, we should be quick to obey. And as we'll see, our problem is the opposite of this leper. The command we have as disciples of Christ, what is it? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Tell everybody. Let it be known. And just like this leper, we go nowhere and we say nothing. He went everywhere and said everything he shouldn't. We have the message that people desperately need. And unfortunately, we're slow to obey. We don't take it where we ought to. Rare are the moments when we're walking in step with the Spirit, actually proclaiming the gospel to people. And it ought not be that way. It ought not be that way. The result, though, of this man's disobedience was Jesus' ministry was obstructed. So he's here fulfilling his task. He's a missionary. He's on the move. He's got a gospel to deliver, a specific plan to set in motion, disciples equipped and trained to go and take his message and lay the foundation of the church. And because of this man's disobedience, the ministry is, there's an obstacle now. So many people are coming, it's getting out of hand. We'll see in the next chapter, I believe it's the next chapter, there's so many people, he has to get in a boat, actually, because they're risking like trampling him on the beach. He has to go out into the water a little bit to be safe. He has a mission to fulfill, he's fulfilling his ministry, and there are some obstructions. This man disobeyed, and now too many people are coming, and he has to change his plan, so to speak. And adapt. So, looking at my notes here, yeah, obedience, the leper, he went and he spoke when he wasn't supposed to. We Christians, I mentioned this, we're commanded to go and we don't speak. Let us repent of that. Let us seek the Lord for his help. All Christians come to Jesus Christ. Now, as we go to our last section here, just four keys to a joyful life of obedience, let's tie this together a little bit. All true Christians, we come to Jesus like this leper. With humility, with faith, because we are sinful and in need of mercy. So we come this way. And then things change. He gives us mercy. He makes us new. We're new creatures in Christ, born from above. And as good lepers made well, or as good saved people, as good followers of Christ, it's our desire now to glorify God with our lives. Are we in agree? We agree? We want to glorify God with whatever time remains for us. And we would agree we ought to be quick to obey, but too often we're not quick to obey. I think we all agree we're in the same boat. We got the same problem. So quickly as we close out, four keys to a joyful life of obedience. Number one, and we get this from verses 35 to 39, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. We're all tempted to be devoted to all kinds of things. All kinds of hobbies, all kinds of endeavors. And have you considered, are you devoted to prayer? Is that a key aspect of who you are as a follower of Christ? Is prayer something you're devoted to? Seek the Lord to be devoted to prayer. Full of the Word, full of His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and known, as I mentioned earlier, when your time comes to an end, people will know you as having been a person of prayer. Strive for that. Be devoted to prayer. Make it a thing in your life. Make it a thing. Number two, as a key to a joyful life of obedience, be equipped. Get yourself equipped. Invest. Study and know the gospel well. Primary, foundational. You need to have a firm grip on what that gospel actually is. And many people hold a Bible in their hands. Many pulpits are populated by people preaching a gospel that is not the gospel. It's a different message. Paul addressed it from the very beginning. Anathema, cursed is anyone who preaches a different gospel. And here in this land, the word gospel means a little book in a big church structure that somebody opens once in a while. No idea that it's actually a message to be received, to be obeyed, to be trusted. No idea in this land. But be equipped. Study, know the gospel well. If you want to be equipped, also ask God for compassion. Jesus had compassion on you, great compassion. Ask him to give you that same compassion for others as well. Ask him to reign over you. A section of scripture that always touches my heart is when Jesus tells a story how these people did not want him to reign over them. And at the end of the story, he says, bring them to me and cut them to pieces. Startling. That's our Lord. If we're born of him, we should want him to reign over us. Reign over me, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. I was talking to a couple yesterday on a video chat in America. They're planning to come serve with us here in Italy. They're supposed to come last year. Pandemic started. It got canceled. They want to come this year. But there's so many variables. My head was getting dizzy just thinking about all the things that can happen. They have to come here. They were going to do 6 weeks. Then it turned into, well, we'll do 8 because the first 2 weeks have to be a self-quarantine. Okay, great. Now, what happens if you get here and you do have the virus and now that 2 week turns into a 4 week? You know, and what happens if this or that or all kinds of variables, it makes my head spin. But when Christ reigns over us, when we invite him, reign over me, reign over my life, take it, it's yours. Great peace we can have. He's directing our steps. He's involved in every detail. Wonderful. Ask God to give you a heart to obey all that he says. As we close here, be equipped. There's a beautiful song, and it's actually, I realized, this is the same song I mentioned the last time I preached there. But it's a different part of the song, and maybe one day you'll let us teach you this song. It's an Italian song. And the one line, it says this, ora son soddisfatto. Now I am satisfied. Ora son soddisfatto. And the guys sing it, and then the girls say it again. And then there's another part that says, è sempre felice, and always happy. So now I'm satisfied, and I'm always happy. And you start to think, what is this, some kind of prosperity message song? What is it? Always happy as Christians, that's not true. But it says, e sono sempre felice fare solo quello, to do only that che Dio mi dice, that God tells me to do. I'm happy always to do only what God tells me to do. Beautiful song, and I wish I could have you hear it. We'll find a way. We'll make a way so we can sing it sometime. So number one, key to a joyful life of obedience, be devoted to prayer. Number two, be equipped. Get yourself equipped in the ways we mentioned. Go by faith. A joyful life of obedience is going, acting in faith. Evangelize. Pray for open doors to testify. Be intentional. Have tracts, gospel tracts, in your pocket all the time. Look for ways to tell people. Live holy. Open your mouth. You are a witness. Do good deeds. And don't stop at opposition. This is the one I think we need to hear too. Too often I see it. We get treated ill. We get made fun of. Or something happens when we evangelize. Finally we do it. And then once treated bad, we stop. Wrong idea. Let it move you to do it even more. Don't ever stop proclaiming the gospel. And the last key to a joyful life of obedience, trust God. Trust him. And sleep well. Trust God and sleep well. What do I mean by that? When you're obedient, there's great joy. You know you did your part. You know you did what God required of you. And there's nothing quite like it. I used to hate evangelizing. And the more I did it, it became kind of like a drug. You do it. And if they believe or they don't, the fact that you got the opportunity to testify and tell others, what a satisfaction. Nothing quite like it. And it's true in all areas of our life, wherever the Lord would have us obey him. When we actually do it, nothing like it. You're doing what the King requires. You're obeying the Master. He's delighted in you. And you can sleep well. We obey and we proclaim. God convicts. God calls people. God draws people. He regenerates them. We leave the results in his hands. That's his part. Ours is to participate with him by going to the people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now thankful that your word is alive, thankful that your word shapes us, it instructs us, it teaches us. We thank you, Jesus, for revealing a bit of your ministry to us today. You came into this world, took on flesh, lived perfectly, showed us the will of God, showed us what it means to be a human being, created in the image of God. Though you weren't created, you're eternal. You came and demonstrated what life really is. You showed us the compassion you had. You showed us today our condition before you. We were very much like the leper that came to you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we don't come to you properly with proper humility or with proper faith. Move in our hearts, grow us in these areas, Lord, that we would joyfully live in obedience, that we would know the joy that comes from obeying you, our Master. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you like the podcast, we encourage you now to come on over and join us on the inside. If you love Jesus Christ, you love this podcast, you love the Italian people, you love the Church of Jesus Christ, it's the perfect place for you to meet other people and see and understand more about the Italian culture and what is going on with Practical Missions Cohort in the Italian context. Look forward to seeing you over there. God bless.